Author Scott Faris can empathize with famous political losers. He was once the Democratic nominee for Congress to Wyoming, but lost to Barbara Cuban in 1998. Faris takes a look at the legacies of some notable yet unsuccessful presidential candidates in his book, Almost President, The Men Who Lost the Race But Changed the Nation. This year, Mitt Romney garnered attention for a hard-fought campaign followed by a gracious acceptance speech. Scott Faris says that speech is a crucial part of every election.
Because that signifies that the election is actually over. As I point out in the book, winners can't govern without the loser's consent in a democracy. So losers are really what make democracy work. If they refuse to accept the verdict and continue to fight on, there's political chaos, and there's violence. In other parts of the world, we've even seen civil war. So I think it's an underappreciated role that the losers play simply by being a gracious loser. The other aspect of the book is that it identifies a number of losing presidential candidates who, in my view, actually may have been more influential in American political history than some of the people who won the presidency. People like Henry Clay and William Jennings Bryan and Al Smith and Tom Dewey, Barry Goldwater, and the late George McGovern all were made major contributions to American political history, were very significant figures, and yet, again, are underappreciated because we're a society that values winning to the point of an obsession. And so if you haven't won, you're labeled a loser and people don't think you're interesting, and that's not true.
I was going to ask, you know, some of the names that you just mentioned are better known than others. In your research or even just in your own understanding of history, whose stories stand out as most interesting or most influential for our nation?
Of course, I highlight nine, so all of them are the ones I think were the most influential, but they're all very interesting, and the book has at least a short essay on everybody. George McGovern's a man who's just never fully appreciated. George McGovern really is the father of the modern Democratic Party. Senator McGovern looked around and saw that the world was changing. The old Democratic New Deal coalition was disappearing. Labor membership was declining. The children of urban blue-collar working folks were going to college and moving to the suburbs. And southern white populists were becoming Republicans. So he reached out to groups that would form a new coalition, minority groups, not just African Americans, but also Hispanics, who were then just a blip, but today are the fastest growing segment of our society. To women, especially working women. His platform was the first to sort of outline a women's bill of rights in terms of equal pay for equal work and equal opportunity. He reached out even to folks who others had never thought to reach out to, like gay Americans. His campaign was the first to issue a statement in support of gay rights. And in 1972, that was a very small group. The whole coalition wasn't mature enough to be a majority. But if you look at who elected Barack Obama in 2008, it was the very coalition George McGovern created back in 1972.
I'm curious, in retrospect, does it seem that any of these candidates might have won under different circumstances, or what external factors have affected the outcomes over the years?
Absolutely. I mean, some of them lost very close races, controversial races. Henry Clay lost by a whisker a couple of times and probably should have been president. And he's one of the people I think would have made an outstanding president. Of the ones I had not did not know much about before I wrote the book, Henry Clay was one, and Tom Dewey was another guy who's only remembered as the guy who should have beat Truman and didn't, so he must have been some sort of a wet rag. But in fact, Dewey was a brilliant man, great governor of New York, and I think would have been an excellent president as well. But yes, I think under certain circumstances, obviously, others would have won. I mean, if Al Smith had been a Protestant instead of the first Roman Catholic to be on a presidential ticket, would he have beaten Herbert Hoover? Perhaps. William Jennings Bryan lost probably the most exciting election in American history in 1896. That was a wild election. It was really his campaign had an almost religious fervor to it, and he completely changed American politics. Before William Jennings Bryan, the Democratic Party was the conservative laissez-faire party. In one election, William Jennings Bryan made it the liberal progressive party that we have today. And so these men can really sometimes have just remarkable impacts on our political system, even as they're losing the race.
In really close races like that, or like the ones that you just mentioned, is there a common thread among the winners or the losers other than the fact that they were slightly more popular?
You know, one of the things I discovered is one of the reasons the losers lose is sometimes they're way ahead of the game. They're talking about the policies that are going to become the policies of the future. They're seeing the direction of the country in ways that the guy who wins doesn't. And so the people who win become kind of complacent. They think they have a winning formula and they just keep following that formula. Whereas the loser is pointed in a new direction that if the party is so inclined can follow. Barry Goldwater would be one. Everyone thought he had, quote, discredited conservatism. Goldwater somehow saw and he knew this long before he ran for president, that the future of the Republican Party was in the South and the Mountain West. And so he took policies. First of all, he did believe them, but he also knew they would be popular and resonate with voters in those areas. So what other people saw as a disaster, Goldwater and the people who followed him saw as the future of the Republican Party. And 16 years later, Ronald Reagan's elected, and we sort of have this new era of where the country's more right of center than left of center. So oddly enough, one of the reasons is sometimes they're denied the presidency because they're on the right side of history. And Henry Clay had a great quote, and I'm sure it made him feel a little better about losing, which was, "I'd rather be right than president." But oddly enough, sometimes that's actually the condition that leads to their defeat.
What kind of options does a person have after losing such a highly publicized election, career and image-wise? And has that changed over time?
It actually has changed for the worse over time. In the 19th century, you look at people like Henry Clay and William Jennings Bryan, and they could lose an election, and yet their reputations weren't so buffeted by that that they couldn't come back and be renominated. And I think now, over the last half century at least, you see that once you're sort of identified as a loser, you're not going to be given a second chance. The last person to have lost the presidency and then come back to get a nomination was Richard Nixon back in 68. But basically, you're one and done now. And part of it, I'm sure, is television. There's also not only the fact of losing, but there's images associated with losing. You think about Michael Dukakis, who's a great guy, but you think about him in the tank with the funny helmet. You think about John Kerry going on and on about how he voted for the war before he voted against it. And so there's a visual stigma attached to it. And I relate it to sometimes what happens to great athletes who have wonderful careers, and then they make a mistake in the key moment of a game, like Bill Buckner letting the ball roll through his legs during the 86 World Series. And that sort of seems to almost wipe out everything else they accomplished. And it's really unfortunate. But I do think as a society, we're even more obsessed with winning than we were even 100 years ago. And we've always been a very competitive society. And I think the sad part of that is that we lose the knowledge and the abilities of these people because we associate them with failure. And so we don't want them to stay in the process anymore.
Scott Ferris, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's been a pleasure.
Scott Ferris is the author of Almost President, The Men Who Lost the Race But Changed the Nation.